All right, who wants to go cliff jumping? Anybody? That's your thing? It looked like a lot of fun? Dude, that did look like a lot of fun. Well, hey, we're diving into a series for the next 2 weeks on risk, on taking risk. We're going to look at what risk that we've taken in the past as well, and kind of the rewards that have come from the faith risk that we have stepped into that God has called us to. And really what we're doing is we're looking back to a year ago when we as a church took a huge risk to step into this space, to enter into this building. And it was a risk for us. It was a blessing, but we also knew that there were many risks that came along with it. And for me, and I think a few others that were close to me, it caused me many sleepless nights, many, many moments where my mind was constant, as we began to process all of the variables that were going to take place in the midst of stepping into this place, processing through the what-ifs, processing through, you know, can we afford it, processing through the fear and the doubt that comes along with entering into what God was calling us into. And so last year, as we began to step into this, man, we had all those fear, we had all those doubts, we had all those what-ifs, and can we do it? But we backed them up with prayer, and I, in the midst of it, sought wise counsel from some of you and from other pastors that have gone before me who have gone through some of the same things. And then, of course, we were very just attentive to what the Holy Spirit was doing and was speaking for our church and what he was wanting. And so we very much entered into this risk, and we felt through it all that God led us here for a reason. In the midst of everything that was going on with COVID and the world being in lockdown, like, God led us here, and we fully believe that. And it wasn't just for a short season. We're like, you know what, God has us here for however long he wants to keep us here. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, second time, or you're new to the church, just a really quick, let me give you an update. Like, we've only been in this space for a year. And the only reason that we were in this space is because when COVID happened, we were meeting at Channel Lakes Elementary, which is right down the road. We're a fairly new church, and so we did set up and tear down over there. Well, COVID happens, and schools are shut down, and we're no longer able to meet. And so I tell people a lot of time, as a church, we became homeless. And so we quickly moved to being online, as did other churches. And we were bouncing around, and we went over to Warner. They have a church there, and then we recorded some services there. And I was in communication with the pastor here about using their space. But I knew this space was available, and so I reached out to say, hey, can we utilize this space once a week just to record services? Long story short, we did that for a little bit. Then we started meeting, and then it moved into a lease for us. And we're here today, and you guys get to be here, and it's awesome. And even the chairs, we didn't have these chairs a year ago. We did a buy one, give one chair campaign where you buy a chair for yourself and you buy a chair for somebody else. So if you're new here today, or you've been in, it's your first time, second time, third time, and you're sitting in that chair, will you just turn to someone and say, thank you for buying this chair for me? They're really comfortable. Go ahead, just say that. Because that's what we did. It was wild. In the very beginning stages, we were actually borrowing the cafeteria chairs from the school. And we did that for like 2 months. But it's been a really, really cool journey. But along the way, it's been anxious. It's been exciting. It's been scary. And so that's what we did. We analyzed. We analyzed everything. Okay, if we're going to do this, what are the pros? What are the cons? What are the what-if scenarios? Like, okay, we get into this thing, and then just no one comes back to church. Like, that was the one. I'm like, you know, people are, they're done. They're done with God. They're done with Jesus. They're done with everything. They're done with me. They're done with the church. And what if that takes place, and we enter into this thing, and then I'm just sitting there with this giant building, and I have my kids in the front row, and that's it. And so those are, we've run through these what-if scenarios, and you know, you begin to just kind of write it all out, right, on paper. And on paper, like, y'all, we can't. Like, as a church, like, I'm just looking at, nah, this, I can't do it. On paper, we can't, but with God, we can. And that's what we rested on. Like, God has brought us here. He has called us to this. It, from a worldly, human, fleshly perspective, we can't. But with God, all things are possible. And so we knew that God could. We knew if we risked it, that it was going to require God to show up and provide for it. And that is exactly what he's done. And he's continued to do. And so
What we started was we decided to do this five-week series called Risk It for the Biscuit. That's right, Risk It for the Biscuit. And we just talked for 5 weeks about taking risk, about what these risks are going to look like. We kind of laid it all out there. We talked about generosity. We talked about how God wants to use each of us in order to move his church and the kingdom forward, even in the midst of adversity, because, right, we're in the midst of a pandemic, and it was a crazy risk. And so we had the Risk It for the Biscuit. We did 5 weeks. And then on the very last Sunday, we did what we call Biscuit Sunday, okay? And we risked it for the biscuit, and we actually had biscuits, and it was a lot of fun. But so this campaign, what we decided is that as we were looking at all the numbers, like in order for us to do this, we're going to need $50,000 on top of what our church is already doing. And so that's what we did. We put out this campaign. And you guys, on a seat next to you, there's this thing, and this was the card that went out there, and it kind of just told you our giving goal was $50,000. And that was kind of just based off of what our current giving was, on the fact of us just moving into the building. There was a lot of renovation. There was a lot of work. There was a lot of things that we needed to get to do in here. And then also, we had to be able to make the lease, but not just the lease, the utilities. And that was one of the things moving from the school. Like, I never had to pay utilities before. But y'all, the utilities on this space, it's no good. So we're going to turn the air off. No, I'm just kidding. We would never. But those are some of the things. So we came up with $50,000. So on Biscuit Sunday, August 30th of 2020, many of you sitting here, some that are not, you guys came forward and you pledged $37,900 of our $50,000 goal. And it was an amazing day. But here's the thing. We, next Sunday, our one-year commitment, the Risk It for the Biscuit commitment, will come to a close. And so I wanted to bring some of you up to speed that weren't here and let you know, like, what has taken place a little bit to get here. And I wanted to kind of just bring up, for those of you who were here, we're coming to the end of our commitment. And so let me just tell you just some quick facts about what was pledged versus what was given. So to date, and I did this on Friday, we've had 22,500 of the 37,900 come in. 22,000. Y'all, that's worth celebrating. Y'all gave 22,000 on top of what you already did. We always celebrate. Now, we know we were falling short a little bit, but we still got a week. And it's only like $15,000, so we're good, okay? I believe in y'all, and I believe God will provide. So that's the reality. So it was 22,000 of 37,000 pledged, so that's 15,000 left. That's a lot in and of itself. But if you remember, our goal was 50,000. So in reality, for us, on paper, we're kind of have a $27,000 deficit of what we needed to be able to do this. But look, guys, we're here. The air is on. The coffee is yummy. And we have donuts every week. So God has provided. So the risk is, and there's the reality. We risked and we went for it, and the reality is we needed at least 50,000. And the reason, one of the reasons that we need to do that is that the moment that we stepped into this building, the lease, just the renting of the space alone is double than what we were doing over at the school. You add on top of that utilities and some other expenses, that put us at about $48,000 a year on top of what we already currently do. And then we have the renovation. We have pulling up carpets. Who remembers pulling up carpets? Anyone want to do it again? No. No one wants to do it again. It was horrible. Thank you, guys. You've risked your back for that business. So there's that. So we did a lot of renovation, and we put a lot of money in that. We actually put $16,000 into this building when we came into it. And so now we're at $64,000. Again, we looked at it, and we tried to plan for it, but it's over what we thought we were going to need. And so that's $64,000 more that we've had to put out in a year. Oh, and by the way, it's in the middle of a pandemic. You know what, though? This is something that I've experienced in my life. I have seen God work and move more in adversity than I've ever seen him work and move any other time. Because in those moments, that's when we rely on him more and we depend on him more and we know that we can't, and that's what we did. So it's in the midst of the pandemic. Also, a bit disheartening, which I kind of knew it was going to happen last year, our year-over-year giving went down $13,000. And so you begin to see what I'm looking at on paper and begin to wonder why my mind won't stop and I have sleepless nights and I'm praying to God and I'm reaching out in councils. But this extra $22,000, it was a blessing. And it allowed us to do all that we've done leading up to this point. It allowed us to continue to grow our church and to continue to pour out into community. I'm going to share a lot about the reward of the risk next week. But we've done an amazing thing, but we still see this large financial gap. And here's the icing on the cake. Starting this month, our lease just went up another $500. Again, stuff that I knew, but I also knew, man, like God called us to us. He's going to provide it for us. So, are you understanding the risk? We have about a $90,000 mountain in our way. But even in the midst of looking at a $90,000 mountain, God said move, we moved, and here we are today praising Him, worshiping Him, and growing as a church community. Because we believe that God will provide. We risked it, it was worth it. More than worth it. It's always worth it when you take faith risks for God. Always. But we don't want to be naive about the deficit. We're not just going to hope and pray. Hear me out. We are going to hope and pray. And this is the most important part. It's we always want to hope and pray, but we're also going to move and we're going to risk. Because that's where God takes what He can do and He takes what you can do and He makes the miraculous happen. So we want to hope, and we want to pray, and we want to bring God into it, and God's going to say, okay, I'm going to bring you into it as well, and you're going to have to make some moves, and you're going to have to take some risk in order to show that you have faith, that you believe that I will provide, and that I will redeem, and that I will bring people into a relationship with me through my son, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to hope, and we're going to pray, but we're going to continue to risk, and we're going to continue to move. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wrap this portion up and talk about risk just for us, but if you pledged last year for our Risk It for the Biscuit campaign, I sent you, you should have got a text or an email about the remainder of what your pledge was. We're going to be sending those out in the mail as well. And here's what I want to ask you to do. Look over that. Pray over that. About how you can try to fulfill that commitment. Or maybe it's not, I can't fulfill a commitment in 1 week, but I'm going to continue to give towards the commitment moving on. So I just want to ask you, if you pledged already, man, do that for me. Pray about how you can fulfill that commitment. And I just want to give you this little fact really quick. Out of the 25 pledges that we got, only 8 of them have been completed. And with the $22,000 that we got, there was about 2,500 of that wasn't pledged at all. And so I would encourage you, if you pledged, man, pray about being able to fulfill that pledge. And if possible, maybe you can today just continue to give towards the Risk It for the Biscuit campaign every month. And you're going to go above and beyond your pledge to continue to see God work and move here at our church. Now, finally, if you're here today, you weren't a part of the Risk It for the Biscuit campaign. You are thankful for this place. You're thankful that you found us. You're thankful for this church and the community that you have been able to enter into. I would encourage you, I would challenge you, grab one of these little things, take this home with you, talk with your spouse, pray over this, and consider, preferably consider about making a pledge, whether it be a one-time gift towards our campaign, or maybe doing a yearly gift over the next year as well. So we're all up to speed. That's what we're talking about, and that's what we're going to move for next Sunday. Again, is the last day of the commitment, and we're going to do commitments next Sunday. It's going to be an awesome day, but I want to get you up to speed, and then we're going to talk about the rewards next Sunday. But today, now that I've shared all that with you about the risk that we've taken, I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to take risks. Yes, to join our Risk It for the Biscuit campaign, but more so for you to begin taking faith risk in your life, to step into the things that God has called you too. Because, and I've already said this, the risks that we are willing to take for God are always worth it. I want to pray and then we're going to dive into a story in Joshua 2. Would you pray with me? God, we are so thankful for this space. God, that we are able to freely come and meet here together and to worship you and to enjoy one another's company and hear from your word and hear from your spirit. God, we know that in our lives you are going to call us to things that are uncomfortable and may require more than we have, but you will always back us up to the things that you call us to. God, so I'm praying today for the remainder of my sermon that you would allow us to hear your word and to hear your spirit. God, that you would speak directly to us about the things that you are calling us to in our lives, and also the things you're calling us to be a part of your church right here in our community. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Now we're gonna look at a story really quick from Joshua chapter 2. It's a bit lengthy story, so I'm gonna give you Brent's cliff notes, okay? Joshua chapter 2, they're getting ready to enter into the promised land, and there's this giant city that they gotta get over with a giant wall. Anyone know the name of this city? Jericho. Yeah, all right, Sunday school. Okay, so it's Jericho. And so what they do, they're like, you know what, let's go kind of analyze the risk, see what I did there, of going to take over Jericho. And so they send out some spies to go to Jericho. And they get there, and word gets out that there are spies, Israelite spies, in our midst. And they've already heard about what God has done for the Israelites. They've already heard about the plagues. They've already heard about God parting the sea and the Israelites walking through. They've heard about just all the conquests and all the victories that God has done for the Israelites. And so these people are scared. Because what they've heard is that if God is with these people, we are doomed, okay? And so they hear about some Israelite spies in their midst, and they start going around and searching, and the Israelites come to the door of a lady named Rahab. Rahab lets them in, talks to them, kind of risking letting them in, and decides that she is going to partner with them to help them, because she's heard about what God has done. She's heard about the miracles. She's becoming to be a believer in the God of the Israelites, the God of the Hebrews, right? And so she's like, you know what? I know what's coming. I know that right now by talking to you, by letting you in here, that I am taking a risk, and that if found out, I may die tomorrow. But I also know that anyone that comes up against the God of the Israelites, they're gonna meet their failure. They're gonna meet their demise. And so she decides to hide the spies on a roof, and the officials come to her house, and they say, hey, we saw the spies come into your house. Like, we know that they were here. And she's like, well, you know, they did come in, but then they just left. And so she sent them out, and so she took a risk to protect God's spies, and she rescued them. And after the coast was clear, she sent them out a window, and They made this covenant, they made this agreement, like, hey, I'm going to protect you, and as I protect you, when you guys come here, like, I know your God is going to win this battle, will you make sure that me and my family are good? And so they make this agreement, yes, you will be okay. So Rahab risked her family, risked her livelihood to rescue these spies, and in the end, Rahab and her entire family were spared. And again, Rahab had heard what God has done, and she knew, man, if anyone serves God, that it's going to be good for them. And so she began to believe, and she began to risk based off of her belief of what she heard about God. And this is the reality. Our faith risks aren't based on what we know we can accomplish. Because if it's something we know that we can accomplish, it's not a risk at all. But instead, our faith risks are based on our belief of what God can accomplish. And again, we can look at ourselves, and we can look at our capacity, and we can look at all that we have, and just look at all the time that we have and say, no, I can't do this. And God's calling, he's saying, yeah, you can't, but I can. The risks that God calls you to, they aren't based on what you can accomplish, but on what God can accomplish through you. It's a risk. And the reality of it is that in those risks, what you and I have to learn to do is become fully dependent upon God, who is going to provide and redeem you. We were watching this shark show the other day called Playing with Sharks with Valerie Taylor. Anyone seen Playing with Sharks? Anyone a big shark fan? My wife loves these shark shows. She's weird. But it's this documentary about, they call her the Shark Lady. And she was one of the ones that helped create some of the footage for Jaws, and then after Jaws, everyone thought every shark was bad, and they tried to kill him, and then she kind of became this preservationist for sharks. She, like, I swear if you watch her, it's like the sharks are dogs to her. Like, she's petting them and patting them and, like, oh, you're so, and, like, rubbing noses with them. She didn't really do that. But it's wild. Like, you just watch her. She's feeding sharks, and she's swimming with sharks, and she's just like, yeah, they're just gentle creatures. I'm like, okay, their teeth say otherwise. But anyway, it was so funny. We're watching this whole thing, and this was weeks ago. A couple months ago. I knew we were getting ready to jump back into a Risk series, and she had this quote that I love because it talked about coffee. But here it is. Put that quote up. It says, everything you do in life is a calculated risk. Even a cup of coffee can burn you. And she's there, and a shark's biting her arm. Cool, and she willingly did that. Like, she went and swam around, and she's like, come bite me, you know, and like, who does that? And then she equates swimming with sharks to a coffee burn. But I mean, it's such a true reality. I mean, you're getting in your car. It's a calculated risk, right? That you could get into an accident. But I thought it was such a profound statement, because I think sometimes we get so afraid to risk that the fear keeps us from stepping into those things. But I mean, you could literally risk tripping and falling out the door because, you know, you got tripped up. I think it's so interesting. And so here's what I want to say to you. There are some things in life that are very fearful. Some things in life that God will call us to that, man, our human flesh, our worldly perspective pushes up against. Or maybe there's outside voices that are saying, no, you can't. But God's over there saying, yeah, you can. You just got to be willing. You just got to believe. You got to have faith. My question to you today is, when was the last time that you took a faith step that you knew was going to require more than you had in order for you to accomplish it? Think about it. God called you to something. You knew you couldn't. You couldn't accomplish it unless God showed up. When was the last time you took a faith step like that? To risk more than you actually had to give. And what I'm talking about here is not just financially. I'm talking about, like, to risk more time than you had, to risk more of your talents, to risk more of your treasure. When was the last time you kind of, for God's sake and for God's glory, you said, you know what, God, I don't have enough, but I know that as you call me into this, that you are going to supply more than I need, and I'm going to step into it. When was the last time you stepped in to do that? In your walk with Christ, are you willing to risk? Are you willing to attempt things for God that you know only He can accomplish? Or has fear kept you comfortable, idle, and paralyzed? You know, as I was thinking about the last year, thinking about not just the COVID stuff, that's been difficult, but I think more of what humanity is showcasing in the midst of political unrest, racial unrest. What I've noticed is that our world needs Jesus in such a big way. But in the midst of everything that's taken place, where we as Christians need to show up and show out and help people see Christ and stand up for what is right, and go and preach the gospel, and go and pray for people, and be connected to people. Many Christians, in a season where we should be risking more for our faith, to reach the lost, to reach the broken, to reach the hurting world, many have taken a step back in their faith due to fear. Fear of sickness. Fear of just not being liked or being judged. It's fear of maybe financial loss in your life, fear of the unknown, fear of death, fear of failing, fear of your capability, fear of surrender. I don't know what the fear is for you, but I've heard it and I've seen it. And I don't even need it to be said. You can see it in people's actions by what they're willing to do, by what they're willing to say, by what they're willing to stand up for. There's fear that is keeping us from taking the risk that will bring God glory. And we all know this. We've heard it time and time again. We've seen the quote. We've seen the memes. Fear is the opposite of faith. And we can all share that and say, yeah, that's so true. Fear is the opposite of faith. But then we continue to live in fear in one way or another and not take risks. So fear is the opposite of faith. And here's the reality. It will keep you from taking faith risks for God. I know you have fears right now. What are they? I don't need you to tell me. I'm just thinking about them. What's keeping you from taking risks for God right now? What's keeping you from standing up for your faith, especially in conversations with your family? Ooh. What's keeping you from being bold in your workplace? What fear is it? I think there are even fears of entering into community, of being vulnerable. You know, we knew that we just kicked off groups for the first time in over a year. And we had probably about 30 signups. And I'll probably say about 20 or so showed up, which is fine. Things happen. But I think for some of you, there's a fear of even connecting in a group together with other people. Fear of, I've never done this before. And fear of, well, there's conversations that I'm going to have. There's fear of being open and vulnerable. Maybe there's a fear that God will challenge and convict you to change, and you don't want to. We have these fears that keep us from connecting with people. For some, maybe you have a fear of the responsibility or the commitment of just getting involved with the church in one way or another and serving and leading. Again, you can run through all the fears of why that is. Well, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough to give. What if I'm not good enough? What if they give me more than I can handle? There's all these fears that come into play. There's fear of, as we think about risk it, even as we think about tithing, there's this fear of the financial burden. If you took the risk to give, you begin to run through all these things. Well, is my gift fruitful? And you begin to run through, well, are they using it for the things that I think they should use it for? Is it being used for God? You have this fear maybe that you'll max out your budget. If you max out your budget on paper, you can't. But there's all these fears that we have. And maybe you're here today, and this has been your story for some time. Your greatest fear is actually fully surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Because if you surrender, that means you're surrendering control and you're putting him in charge. And you fear the change that might take place. I'm not going to dismiss your fears. I have fears. I have doubts. But at the end of the day, I take those things and I give them to God and I go to his promises and I remember who he is. That he is my rescuer, that he is my redeemer, that he is my provider. And though I may fear, through his word, he tells me to fear not time and time again because he is on my side, because he's got my back, because he is leading the way, and I'm just following. As I was going through this and just thinking about this, Genesis 15 came to mind. And this is Abraham. Abraham left his family and he went, and God, and he didn't know where he was going, but God just said, go to a land I'm going to give you. And so Abraham set off, and that's a risky thing to do. And there were a lot of things that happened along the way that Abraham was like, what is going on, God? I thought you were going to bring me here. You told me I was going to have, man, just descendants as far as the eye can see. Well, where is this? I don't have children. And so there are these risks, and there's these things taking place, and you get to Genesis 15. And what does God say to Abraham? Ready for it? Do not be afraid. Why? Because I am your shield, and your reward for obedience, your reward for taking this faith step, your reward for risking it all shall be very great. I want to go on and read verses 2-7. It said, Abram said, Lord God, what reward will you give me since I'm leaving this world childless? And the Lord brought Abram outside his tent into the night and said, look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so numerous shall your descendants be. Then Abram believed and affirmed, trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord, and he credited him as righteousness, doing right in regard to God and man. And he said to him, and verse 7 is really key. It kind of reminds Abraham, listen, I am the same Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as an inheritance. I love that he starts with, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Well, I want to show you something. I know you took a risk I know I told you to move. I know I told you to go. And I know the reward hasn't come to fruition yet, but I want to show you something. Go look at the stars. This is the promise that I have for you. And then he reminds him, don't be afraid. Here's what's coming, but let me remind you of what I've brought you through. Let me remind you of how I've redeemed you. Let me remind you of how I've provided for you. Let me remind you of how I rescued you. And see, this is the reality. We continue to take risks because of God's continued provision and redemption for us. And so this is Abraham's story. He made this risk, and God said go, and he moved, and he went. And in the midst of this journey, a very long journey, he hoped and he prayed, and that's what we want to do. We hope and we pray. But at a moment, he gets to a place where he begins to try to put everything and accomplish the things that God called him to on his own. And so he comes to this point, and he's afraid and doesn't know what's going to happen. And God says, I'm going to do this for you. And then he waits, you know, many more years. And finally, he receives the reward of his son Isaac. And you all know the story, what happens next. What's God do? God calls him to risk again. He says, Abram, I want you to go, and I want you to take your only son, the son that I promised to you, the son that I gave you, my provision for you. I want you to go, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. And what's Abram do? He has faith, and he does it. Man, what a faith. The one thing that he waited for, that God promised him, God says, is this really in my control? Do you really trust me? Do you really believe? Do you really believe that the faith risk that you have is going to be a future reward that is so great? And what does he do? He risks and he moves. And he takes Isaac, and once again, God shows up. And what's he do as a provider? He provides a ram for the sacrifice instead. God is our redeemer. God is our provider. You may be in a season of difficulty and adversity, and you may have taken risks for God, and you're sitting there questioning, God, when are you going to show up? I need to tell you, he's never gone away. He's still there with you. He's still working out his plan. Don't lose faith in a God that's redeemed you and provided for you in the past. He'll do it today. He'll do it tomorrow. He's going to keep doing it for you, but you got to hold on to your faith that he will do it. You got to keep taking risks. You got to keep moving forward with him. And when fear shows up, man, just be reminded that with God, you don't need to live out of fear. You may have it, but you don't need to live out of it. You don't need to let it control your actions or the things that you do. You give it to him, because he is a God who goes before us. He is a God who stands beside us, and he is a God that follows behind us. He is surrounding us every step of the way, and we don't need to fear our future, because God is our provider and our redeemer. Genesis 15:1, what's he say? Don't be afraid. In your life today, don't be afraid. Maybe you're dealing with difficulty. Maybe you're dealing with sickness. Maybe you're dealing with financial issues. Maybe you're dealing with relational issues with a spouse or with a child. Maybe you're dealing with something at work and it's difficult. Don't be afraid. God is your shield. If you continue to have faith, if you continue to move, if you continue to be bold in your faith, your reward for your obedience will be great. Every faith risk that we take will yield a future reward. You got to believe that. You've probably seen it in your own life. We read it time and time again in the Bible. And yes, there is the reward for you and I. And we want to make sure that we hold on to that, right? We have the reward, number one, of heaven, right? We have the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ, and we have an eternity with God in heaven. But that's just single-minded, because there's also a reward that comes. When you are willing to take risk for your faith, there's a reward that comes for others. It's the reward that comes from the redemption of you sharing the hope that you have found in Jesus Christ. Because listen, when you're willing to take risk, and people see you taking those risks, or they hear about the risk that you've taken, and they see God show up, you want to know what they're going to do? They're going to be like, hey, tell me about what just happened. Tell me about why you did that, how you did that, why you thought you can do that. And your answer can simply be, because my hope is in my Savior, in my Redeemer, in my Provider. And that's why I took that risk. And let me tell you about a guy named Jesus who can be your salvation too. And so it leads to redemption and reward for others as well when we take faith risk. Let's go back to Rahab. Joshua 6:25, and this is after they go to Jericho, and they, you know, they just absolutely decimate Jericho. And this is what it says. So Joshua spared Rahab, with her father's house and everything that she had. And she has lived among the Israelites to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And there it is. She took a risk. And in the end, immediately, she sees the reward. Like, everyone else in Jericho, gone. The walls tumbling down, right? And here I am, and here's my family, and I took a risk, and God provided. Her great faith risk led to an even greater faith reward, though. Because while he did rescue her and rescue her family, what's really, really great about this story is you can follow the lineage from Rahab all the way to Jesus. And so her faith risk, you ready for this? You and I get to reap from the benefits of her taking a faith risk because Joseph, Jesus' adoptive father, was her direct descendant. I mean, just you get to see God's story unfold. But it requires us to take some risk in our lives for him. And we get to see that reward in eternal life through Jesus Christ. And here's what I'll say to you. Never underestimate what God can do in, through, and for you when you have the faith to take risk for him. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to pray three different things. Number one, first and foremost, I think the greatest risk that we all have to make at one point in our life or another is the risk of surrendering our life to God. And maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching online, and this is the one step, this is the one move, this is the one risk that you have yet to take. You're afraid. You're afraid of what might happen. You're afraid of the changes. You are afraid of being judged. You're afraid of what your friends might say or your spouse might. I don't know what it is, but can I just tell you today, when you're willing to take this, the greatest faith risk ever, by surrendering your life to Jesus, you get the greatest reward, and that is the eternal life and eternal hope and eternal purpose that you find in him. If you haven't taken that faith step, if you haven't risked surrendering it all to him, man, I would encourage you right here and right now, give your life over to him. Surrender control. Find freedom in that. Find freedom in the fact that you may have been trying to accomplish all these things in your own will, in your own power, in your own wisdom, in your own strength, but now you realize that you couldn't, but God can. Whatever mountain is in your way, whatever fears you have, you can lay them at his feet because he is greater and he can move them. But you got to have the faith to do so. If that's you, and go to God today and say, God, I surrender my life to you. I believe that your son Jesus came down, died on the cross for me, and rose again so that I could experience eternal life for you. And from this day, as I surrender my life, I'm going to move forward from this place and live for you. Now, if you're here today and you've already made that surrender, you've seen God work and move in miraculous ways in your relationships, in your calling, in your purpose, in your family, in friendships. But somewhere along the line, you began to listen to the fears instead of living out your faith. Can I just tell you, it's number one, it's okay. It happens to all of us. And it may happen again. But my prayer is today that you are reminded that God is so much greater than your fears. And if you keep letting your fears guide you and control you, you will never live out the faith that God has for you. Take a moment today. Really, take a moment today to lay your fears at his feet. Repent for your lack of faith in who he is. Of all that he's done, of all he's provided, of all he's given you, of how he's redeemed you. And remember today that he is a God that is with you, no matter what you're facing. Lastly, I would encourage all of you, as we take risk in our own life, that you would begin praying about making a risk to continue to allow us as a church, as a body of believers, to do all that God has in mind for us to do here today, tomorrow, and next year. God, today I thank you for your word. I thank you for the reminder that you are a provider, and that you are our redeemer, and that you are our rescuer. And sometimes we get caught up in the ways of this world. Sometimes we're distracted by the fear of this world. And we get to believe in the enemy's lies that we can't or we shouldn't. God, I pray today that as a body of believers that we would move past that to people who are saying we will and God can. It's in your son's name that I pray. Amen.